Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
All right, we're back on. David Axelrod, what can we expect the president to accomplish in his last years, well, now almost months in office?
Yes, well, I think he's going to move forward on climate change, huge initiative. I think that he's going to work on these issues that go to middle-class security, which is, in his view, I think in most people's view, the biggest issue of our time. How do you build an economy in which people can actually work and get ahead?
Why do we need to work on climate change? Inhofe had a snowball in his hand the other day.
Yes.
Plainly, that refutes all the science.
Yes.
He had a snowball in his hand.
On the floor. I had a reporter say to me, why is he working on this? It's at the bottom of the NBC Wall Street Journal poll.
Right.
I got a young granddaughter. I'm thinking, I'm going to tell her from the grave at the end of this century, hey, we could have worked on this problem, but the NBC Wall Street Journal poll wasn't
right.
I mean, that's...
Well said. Matt, what can you tell us about the book you're working on about Eric Garner? Eric Garner, the New York man who was choked by the police for selling loose cigarettes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all the same issues we were talking about before. I mean, the Eric Garner case was... I think it really exemplified everything that's wrong with community policing in this country, and it's a fascinating story about race and why people hate each other in this country, and so I'm going to spend a year working on it.
Okay. Genevieve, what would a Republican health care bill look like?
Well, I think there's a lot of different options out there right now. I would encourage people to go to heritage.org, where I work, if you want to see a whole host of plans. But I think one of the first things that we could do is, especially if this court case goes the way that it could, which means a lot of people that currently have health care that can no longer won't be able to get the subsidies are going to need health care. And I think states need to be taking action right now, not waiting for the Supreme Court to come down to say, look, we're going to do two things. We're going to make sure that these people are taken care of. And they can either go back to plans that they had before that they lost, or that we can create plans that basically are not as expensive because we don't have to have all the mandates that Obamacare required, which makes a lot of plans expensive. And third, I think states ought to not compete, but people who live in, let's say California wants to mandate, I don't know, hair transplants, and it's part of health care. Let's just say they do. That's fine in California.
People is that a shot at Dave?
Yeah.
No.
I'm sitting here thinking that.
He doesn't do
that. Why do you have to go there?
I'm trying to come up with something that most people might think is not necessary in health care, but some people might want in their plan.
Sure.
But that's going to make it more expensive, right, if it's mandated. But let's say that somebody in Arizona says, look, we're going to have a plan that's much more narrowly focused. It just really covers the very basic things. The Arizona plan is going to be cheaper. People in California ought to be able to buy a health plan in Arizona. People in Arizona ought to be able to buy a health plan in Massachusetts. They should have more choice, and I think if we're looking for freedom and choice in health care and giving people options, that's a good way to go.
Dave, what do you say to that?
I say we've cut the uninsured down by 25%. You say people can go back to their plans. These people didn't have plans. That's why they needed health care.
Can I give a rebuttal?
Well, they had the emergency room. That's a plan.
Yes.
Yeah, but now what most of them have are we have 8.4 million or 8.5 million folks signed up in the exchange through like September of last year. About 7.5 million, I think it's 7.4 million of those folks didn't get private insurance. They're on Medicaid.
It's a great deal if you had nothing before, isn't it?
You know, Bill, if giving people, just because you give somebody a Medicaid card, says, oh, now you have health care.
Right.
If fewer and fewer doctors are taking Medicaid, which is a problem, and certainly in a lot of more crowded areas, then, yeah, you have a card, but you can't get into the doctor, and that's not good health care.
I agree. It's a mess. This is why we should just have a single-payer system like every other big boy country has. Will the murder of a prominent Russian opposition leader this week spark any international response against Putin? Well,
first of all, he's not terribly prominent. But, I mean, I lived in Russia for 10 years. Boris Nemtsov, he was really, you know, not terribly relevant in modern Russian politics.
So
I think
kill him.
Putin just didn't like it personally, you know.
You think Putin did it?
Is he here?
Well, the gunman was seen leaving the crime shirtless, riding a bear.
Right.
Are you saying that? So you have no doubt in your mind that
it's 100 yards from the Kremlin, and, you know, I mean, who else is going to do an organized hit, you know, on that bridge right next to the Kremlin? I think
right.
It's pretty odd. There's not that many other suspects.
Right. And he's running the investigation, so.
Right, yeah.
We'll have answers, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes.
We'll have answers.
Exactly.
And you think it was just because he could do it, he wasn't even really that much of a threat?
Well, people here in the United States, they overthink it, and they say, well, it really wasn't in his best interest. They should have just left him alive. The optics are bad of leaving him alive. They don't think about the optics of this stuff. They just didn't like the guy, and they whacked him. I mean,
Putin seems really concerned about optics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we tend to think like everybody thinks like us, and they don't.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
like,
yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, Putin is a European problem, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why.
He's a bad actor on
so
the world
what?
Stage.
There's lots of them. Do we have to get involved everywhere? Why can't people clean up their own neighborhoods? Why can't Europe?
I'd love it if they would. Would love it if many of them would.
Well, so what? Putin is not sponsoring terrorism over here. I mean, you can kind of make the case against ISIS that way, mm-hmm. that they might sponsor terrorism here. But Putin's not doing that, so what do we give a shit about Crimea? It's not our problem.
Yeah, the Russians definitely see NATO's incursion into that part of the world as a clearly an intrusion.
Yeah.
That they feel that they were promised during the 80s that NATO would disintegrate when the Soviet Union collapsed.
Right.
They take that stuff very seriously, and they see it as aggressive on our part, not on Putin's part.
Okay. Genevieve, what do you make of the challenges to Speaker Boehner from his own party? Will there be a coup?
I think the biggest challenge already occurred when they had the run. And, he won overwhelmingly, but I think people forget that the fact that 20-something, I forgot what the exact total was, but the fact that he had as many as he did vote against him was a big statement. But look, I think the challenge for Boehner is going to be, and Mitch McConnell, over the next 2 years. I mean, you have a president who doesn't want to be a lame duck president, quite frankly. And while I don't like a lot of his policies and agree with a lot of his politics, I do admire he's willing to put the pedal to the metal and push as much of his agenda through as he possibly can. And
is
I don't
his agenda?
Well, I mean, what his
seems
party
like his agenda is always kind of counter to the Tea Party agenda. It seems like there's a pattern of
the president's wanting to push his agenda. I'm saying he's committed to his agenda and doing whatever it takes to get it through, some of which I think is not constitutional at times. But nonetheless, he's willing to push it. John Boehner and Mitch McConnell have not shown at this point that they're willing to do the same on their side. And so I think the next 2 years, I think Republicans better be concerned about...
They're being too nice.
Focus on 2016 and being so disgruntled with who's there that they're just focusing on who's running next while the president's still being president.
You know what I think is they're the dog that caught the car. They wanted to run the Congress. Now they're running the Congress, and the tail is wagging the dog.
Right.
And they don't know what to do about it.
Okay. I mean, all right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, audience. We will see you all next week, I hope.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10, or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to HBO.com.